Today's gospel is about an event, a most incredible event that takes place in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. We call it the Transfiguration, the remarkable transformation that took place once in the appearance of Jesus. Three of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give accounts of the Transfiguration. Simply put, what happened that day on the mountain, Jesus' whole appearance, including his clothes, changed to show his heavenly appearance. In the Gospel of Luke, chapters 8 and 9, a question is being raised throughout those chapters. Who is Jesus? Jesus had just walked on water and calmed the raging storm. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, the disciples ask the question, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. In Luke chapter 9, verses 7 and 9, Jesus and his disciples had been performing marvelous miracles, driving out demons, curing the sick. And this comes to the attention of Herod the Tetrarch. St. Luke records Herod saying, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? Things are starting to stir in little old Israel. And then, just before this holy gospel in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 20, Jesus is alone with his disciples at a place in northern Israel, not far from Lebanon, called Caesarea Philippi. It's a center of pagan worship. Right in the middle of this place is the temple of Pan. You know that Pan, the flute guy? That's the temple of Pan. But the Caesarea Philippi, Caesar, they have a shrine to him. And so this is anything but a holy place. And Jesus asked them this question, who do the crowds say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. And Jesus asked them, but what about you? Can you imagine the Lord of all looking you square in the eye and saying, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Messiah of God. And now in today's holy gospel, God wanted to answer this question once and for all with the simple and clear words, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Jesus took his three most trusted apostles, Peter, James, and John, to this mountain, which I believe is Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is not far from Caesarea Philippi. As a matter of fact, you can see the snow-peaked or snow-capped peaks right from Caesarea Philippi. Peter proclaimed Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, at Caesarea Philippi. Now, during the Transfiguration, there were three important things that took place. Three important things. Jesus' humanly bodily appearance was changed. It was transformed. It was not the same. And these three guys could see that. Moses and Elijah appeared with him on that mountain in glorious splendor. And God the Father spoke directly to the disciples, and they heard him. Now, it's often been said, what about Moses? Moses died on Mount Nebo, never getting to go to the promised land because he disobeyed God when he told him to talk to the rock and it would bring forth water. But Moses remembered what happened the last time they were at that rock, and he struck it with his staff. Brought water, but it also brought a little bit of punishment. So people said, well, if he didn't get to go to the promised land, did he get to go to heaven? In this scripture is proof. Here is a heavenly Moses who comes and stands next to Jesus, and also is Elijah, who went to heaven in that glorious fiery chariot. Scripture tells us, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Can you just imagine that? To be watching your best friend and his face changing, to become the most beautiful face you've ever seen, and all of a sudden his clothes are whiter than white, I mean, Tide can't do what that just happened. A great many words have been said about who Jesus is. But now God the Father himself chimes in. He reveals to all mankind, showing quite visibly who Jesus is, revealing, he shows them the glory of his Christ, the Messiah, the glory of the Son of God. He shows them Jesus transfigured, bathed in dazzling white. Now in today's Old Testament lesson, taken from the book of Exodus, we read how Moses witnessed the glory of God. And because of it, his face was absolutely shining. Just being near God's glory was enough to reason to have Moses wear a veil before others. Luke's gospel also tells of the heavenly visitors. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure. Now, this wasn't JetBlue leaving from Jacksonville. This was bringing fulfillment in Jerusalem with the death of Christ. Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. After God the Father spoke, Moses and Elijah disappeared, and Jesus stands alone. You could say that the law and the prophets have served their turn and passed away. Now he, who is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets, alone remains as our means of salvation. Jesus, and only Jesus, is the one who fulfills the old covenant and brings in the new covenant. On that mountain that day, a new era was on the horizon. The old covenant, represented by Moses and Elijah, was going to pass away, and a new covenant was about to come through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And this new covenant, through a relationship with Jesus and the partaking of that new covenant through his body and blood, the most precious gift that we as believers of Christ have been given. Finally, Luke's gospel says, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. God the Father simply said these words, "This is my son, whom I love, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." So I got to ask you, could it be any easier? This is Jesus, the only Son of God. While we can see the word and believe it, it's crystal clear about Jesus' glorious identity. But unfortunately, there are some who can't see the forest for the trees. In spite of this empirical proof, they ask, well, is Jesus the Son of God that the Father proclaimed on the mountain that day? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus the one who required repentance for sin and then provided forgiveness? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus the one who sacrificed himself on the hard wood of the cross so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who touched hearts and cured bodies and the spirits of people who have faith in him? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who came as fulfillment of the law and the prophets? Or is he someone else who turns a blind eye to the law and that his father gave to Moses? Is Jesus someone who believes every word that is in the scriptures as the written word of God, the unchangeable, unmovable word of God? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who invites people to come to him and be transformed, never to be the same again, healed of affliction, disease, addictions, perversions, and sinful behavior? Or is he someone else who says, "Come to me and stay just as you are. Have fun and forget what my father said. That was for another time that expired a long time ago." I don't think so. But sadly, there are some people who identify themselves as Christians today who cannot or will not confess that Jesus is who God says he is. They either say, "Oh, he was a great prophet or teacher," or even, "He had great power that was used to lead us to our own divinity. My goodness, how can they be so wrong? My brothers and sisters, you can either accept the divinity of Jesus as the Christ, as the only Son of God who died on the cross for the atonement, for the payment of our sins, or not. Believe in him and what the Bible says about him, or not. Today, we are so very, very blessed to be baptizing a young girl, a young woman, Julie Carolyn Vickers, because her parents, Ashley and Jay, along with David, and her godparents, Amy and Brian, are believers that Jesus is the Son of God. Not only that, but they believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the only way to the Father. They'll be standing before you in just moments, and they'll also be standing before Almighty God, making promises on Julie's behalf that she will be raised in that very same faith. As Amy said to me on Friday, that's a big responsibility. It is. I see Brian shaking his head because he agrees wholeheartedly. And because of their faith, Ashley and Jay and David and Julie are putting their trust in them to make promises that will be kept. God bless you. We're blessed today to witness these promises as the church, as the body of Christ, and support them in their life in Christ. And we're so blessed today. There are some people here in this church that have been baptized in this church in the last 12 months. And they know the proof of what takes place in your heart when Jesus' Holy Spirit fills you. Congratulations to you all and to your family, Jay and Ashley. What it really all boils down to is the fact that if you do believe in Jesus, then you can call yourself a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, a Christian. If not, then you're making up some whole other religion or cult altogether. You know what? There are a whole bunch of cults out there that try to proclaim that they are Christians. I invite you, there's a chart outside my office that shows you all of the other denominations, if you will, that are truly not Christian and what they believe. And you're going to shake your head and say, they believe that? Like the Mormons. Well, several others. I'm not going to point fingers, because they say when you point a finger, three more are pointing back at you. But check out the chart. I think you'll be amazed. I want to suggest to you that those people who are proclaiming something else need to end their charade and either submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ or not. You either believe what the Bible says or you don't. If you don't believe what the Bible says, then call yourself something other than Christian. Call yourself whatever you want. Start living whatever truth it is that you do believe in. There are too many who continue to question the divinity of our Lord. And you would call them wolves in sheep's clothing, if you will. The Apostle John warned us of this kind of deception with his words from 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. I want you to hear these. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son, and as we know, the Holy Spirit as well. If you believe that Jesus is just who he says he is, and who God the Father says he is, and that God's holy word is true and unchanging, then we leave it to Jesus and let him and God's word transform us to his ways. We're not to transform Jesus and Scripture to our ways or the culture's ways. There's one truth. And as we heard in today's Holy Gospel, God has spoken. Jesus is his Son. And we are to listen to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.